We'll call the Commerce, Jobs, and Economic Development Committee to order, March 18th, your hour of 12:30 p.m. having arrived. We'll start out. We do not have a quorum, so we'll officially call the meeting to order as soon as we do and take care of some issues here. But the first bill we have up today is Representative Nelson will move House File 2801. And what I'd like to do is, I believe there's an author's amendment.
Delete all amendments.
The DE2 amendment. So when we testify this, I would prefer that we testify as if that had gone on. It's the author's amendment to get the bill in the shape that he wants. So with that, welcome to your committee. Representative Nelson, if you could please explain your bill here as it would be amended.
Mr. Chair, yeah, this bill started out a lot larger, and some of the stuff that was in it was included in the Commerce Department's bill. And what's the piece that's left here is the no insurer shall refuse to renew because of it has to do with the daycare provision, five or fewer kids refuse to write homeowners insurance. And I'll let Bob Johnson from the Insurance Federation explain it. We had with the gentleman that brought this bill to Senator Rest. I was asked by Senator Rest to carry it for her here. I understood there was some controversy about it, so I met with the Insurance Federation. We met with the gentleman who was also an insurance agent and worked out the bugs, and I hope we have peace in the valley here, and I'll go from there.
Well, thank you, Representative Nelson. Before we start with Mr. Johnson, is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify against House File 2801 as it will be amended by the DE2 amendment? Okay, Mr. Johnson, that means we have the Reader's Digest version.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman and committee members, Bob Johnson, Insurance Federation of Minnesota. I wasn't planning on testifying, but I know Mr. Hawkins couldn't come. But I was, as Representative Nelson indicated, directly part of some meetings with Senator Rest, with Representative Nelson, with Representative Osterman, in working on talking through the bill and supporting, ultimately, the delete everything language that you have before you. So from the insurance industry's perspective, this new section now, with prohibiting underwriting of homeowners policy on the basis of it of a homeowner having five or fewer children, is the acceptable language from the insurance industry perspective, and we support the bill in this format. And I could go into more, but I'd be happy to answer any questions if
Any questions for members?
Representative Coles? Representative Nelson, I was going to vote against your bill until I had one of these tasty donuts. So good work on the bill and good work on the donuts. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Coles. I was remiss. I apologize for that. I should announce, in case there's any members that have any questions on this bill, that the donuts are from Representative Nelson and they are very tasty. So with that, of course, that has nothing to do with how we'll vote on anything. I just want to make that clear, but it doesn't hurt. Okay, so with that, we'll lay this bill over until we get a quorum so we can pass it through. Oh, Representative Nelson, what committee would this go to?
I believe it can go to the General Register. I don't General think Register. It has to go anyplace else.
Let's hope that we don't have a whole lot of civil law stuff here.
Okay.
So, okay, General Register would be the Nelson motion when we get to it. Item next, and members, I have a bill up. Somebody's going to come and get me a little bit over in Ag Finance, so I'll be turning the gavel over to Vice Chair Gerlach when I get pulled out of the meeting here. How far are we from a quorum? I'd like to... Three? Representative Sertich, welcome to your committee, sir. Representative Sertich will move House File 2035, be recommended to pass, and sent to the committee...
On Jobs Finance.
Jobs Finance, Chairman Gunther's Jobs Finance Committee. So, members, if you'd please take out 2035. And then when we actually, I don't see an amendment. Is there an amendment?
Okay. Mr. Chair, can I?
Representative Sertich?
I think we might even be able to bring this to the General Register.
General Register?
Yeah.
Great. We'll give that a shot. And I don't want to send things that need to go to other committees. You haven't had a request for anyplace else?
Okay, no, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and Representative Sertich, could you please explain the bill to us as it would look after there's a DE1 amendment put on it, sir?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair, and as with all good bills, I'm not the expert. I got the expert sitting next to me, so I'd like him to take care of explaining the bill.
Okay. My name is Peter Lavalier. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of the Occupational Development Center, and we've been working with Department of Rehab Services in regards to the extended employment funding. And this particular project attempts to identify some alternatives under community employment in the extended employment rule, whereby individuals with disabilities are working alongside individuals without disabilities in a reasonable ratio, doing the same tasks at or above minimum wage with similar benefits. And we're trying to establish this as what we would call an affirmative industries model to be considered in the extended employment rule.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience who would wish to testify against House File 2035 as amended by the DE1 amendment? Are there any questions for the author of the bill, Representative Sertich, or the witness? Oh, here we go. Here we go. We got two.
It's Scott.
Okay. Let's just take care of this one right now. I'll officially call the meeting to order as we do have a quorum. Representative Clark moves the minutes of March 17th. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Sertich moves 2035 be recommended pass and sent to the General Register. Representative Sertich then moves that H2035DE1 amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Are there any questions to the bill? Representative Sertich moves that House File 2035 as amended be recommended pass. Be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Sertich, and for your testimony, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay, Representative Nelson, if you could please come back to the table, sir. Ag Finance needs me. Where are they? Okay. Representative Nelson moves House File 2801, recommend pass, and sent to the General Register. Representative Nelson moves H2801D2 amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Nelson moves House File 2801 as an amendment. We recommend pass and sent to the General Register. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Nelson. Representative Pugh.
Obviously.
Go over there.
Mr. Chairman, does this mean we're reserving the rest of our time for Representative Pugh's bill?
The rest of time is for Representative Pugh's bill. Now, members, I'm going to try and do something here. This is because of term limits for committee chairs, this is my last meeting unless the Rules Committee has asked us to meet. This is my last meeting as chair. And I just wanted to go on the record as thanking everyone on this committee for their work the last 2 years, and some have been on this committee the last 6 years. It's been a wonderful experience for me. I hope some of you can say the same. that's certainly questionable, but I have a bill up in Ag Finance Committee now, so kind of drag this out for a while. I'd like to come back. My bill's going to be very short, but with good questions and positive comments to the bill, of course. So with that, Chairman Linder, do you want to come to the front here?
Chairman Linder, can I move you, Chair?
Chair Linder, we have one bill left, the 2214, and I hate to just run off, but I do need to get over to the other committee. And if I don't get back in time, I do from the bottom of my heart thank you, each and every member of this committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Pugh, would you like to move your bill?
I would, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that House Bill 2214 be recommended to pass and be referred to the General Register.
Okay. Representative Pugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 2214 is a straightforward, common sense bill authored by a lawyer I know, but believe me, it is simple and straightforward. Federal law requires insurers to provide insurance coverage for a person who leaves their place of employment that had health insurance. The COBRA benefits extend for a period of time, usually 18 months. After that time, the health insurer may offer a continuation plan. What this bill asks an insurer to do is to include in the letter that they provide to the person information that the conversion, the continuation policy may be different in terms of coverage than the policy they currently have, and also to inform the person that they may be eligible for coverage through the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Association. And I do have with me today, Mr. Chair, Bill Connolly from the Mental Health Association, and Cynthia Hart. Ms. Hart would like to testify about a situation that occurred with her family, where this type of notification would have been very helpful. And we can provide that short testimony and answer any questions that you may have. I should also mention before Ms. Hart testifies that this bill has been through hearings in the Health and Human Services Committee. To date, I'm not aware of any opposition. We have reviewed this with carriers, with the plans. Mr. Johnson from the insurance industry is okay with the bill in its present format as well.
Ms. Hart, would you like to give your name and who you represent for the record?
Yes, I'm Cynthia Hart. Your agenda says that I'm representing the State Advisory Council, which I am a member of, but I'm actually here as a board member of the Mental Health Association today. This bill is before you today, Mr. Chairman and members, because of my family's experience in attempting to ensure continuing health care coverage for one of my young adult children. I'm an RN and have worked for many years, mostly in volunteer capacities, as an advocate for adults and children with mental illness. I'm fully aware of the value and necessity of maintaining insurance coverage for my family, and because of family health history, I'm similarly aware of the value and necessity of mental health benefits in that coverage. Just as an aside, my husband owns a small business that insures us, and as you know, insurance is very expensive. Our family premium is more than $1,400 a month, of which we pay half. And we have unusually high copayments, $30 for office visits and 20% on our prescriptions up to $25 max. But we do have fairly good mental health benefits in the policy. One of my daughters reached the limiting age of 19 and was not in school full-time, so she rolled onto COBRA coverage. COBRA in this circumstance lasts for 3 years. I was curious what would happen after the COBRA expired because she does have some pre-existing conditions, and I wanted to be careful that we maintained continuity of coverage for her. Our insurer informed me that when COBRA expired, they offered 3 continuation policies. Interestingly enough, each of these policies was less expensive than the $200 8 COBRA premium that I was currently paying, so that in an individual policy, they estimated, would have cost over $300. So, of course, I asked, well, why do I have to pay this higher premium for 3 years? Can't I change to that continuation policy now? I was told I couldn't, and I tend to not, I have an advocate's mentality, so I don't always believe what I'm told. So my next call was to the Department of Commerce to verify if that was true according to the rules, and they told me that it was. I had to wait for the 3-year period to expire, but they did give me a hint to go back and ask a question because often the continuation policies are not the same benefits as what you currently have. When I made that call, I discovered that none of the 3 continuation policies that was offered by our insurer had any mental health benefits. Without the knowledge of the option available through the Minnesota Comprehensive Health Associations, our options really would have been to pay for a health insurance policy that did not cover one of my daughter's health conditions, even though she'd been covered for that, you know, that since birth, all of her childhood, or apply for a more comprehensive individual policy, which I assume would be denied based on the presence of her pre-existing conditions, therefore leaving her uninsured at all. In fact, in this case, I was able to dodge the bullet by having her reinstated as a dependent under other provisions that enable young people who have a condition that prevents them from self-sustaining employment to continue as a dependent. So that's where we are right now. I wish I was here eloquently convincing you to pass a bill ensuring mental health and parity in all insurance products and universal coverage for all of our citizens, but this bill is obviously much more limited in scope. The language is simple. It requires insurers in a letter they already send to inform people that the coverage they offer may be different from that which is currently purchased and to tell them about an existing program for which they may be eligible. If you don't include both provisions, some people won't realize that a previous health benefit is missing until they need it, or won't even discover MCHA as an option until they've had a break in their insurance and haven't got don't now no longer have continuing coverage, which would then create a problem as well, having them join the rolls of the uninsured. This bill simply makes it easier through the provision of information only for people like me to maintain continuous health care coverage for our loved ones. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hart. Any questions for Mrs. Hart? Okay, Mr. Connolly. Oh. Mr. Mullery. Representative Mullery.
A question for Representative Buell.
Wonderful. I'm sorry.
Payback.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I really don't have a question. I just wanted to see how red his face would get when I put my hand up to ask him a question.
Mr. Chair, he accused me of driving quickly through the parking ramp this morning and nearly running him down for fear that he'd ask a question today.
Chair Hawking, yes,
sir. Must have been driving a Yugo. Okay, any other comments, questions? Mr. Connolly.
Mr. Chairman, Bill Connolly representing the Mental Health Association, and to keep it brief, we think that this is a positive way of providing individuals with some information about current law to help them make more informed decisions about continuing their health care coverage, and especially in circumstances where they have an ongoing illness that they're trying to ensure that there's medical benefit for. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for any of the witnesses at the table? If not, Representative Pugh renews his motion that House File 2214 be passed and be placed on the General Register. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Talk amongst ourselves until the chairman comes back.
Maybe just give him an equity.
Leave him a note on the door.
Home, we're down to
okay, well, I think we could just maybe linger around if you want to and have donuts and visit if you'd like or go about your business. But with that, the committee's adjourned.